Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. But Jackie says that that is so not true, Jackie. Mangold's sister is a dietitian and fitness trainer now. It looks completely different. He's got some kind of model on that. That is not Nick Mangold's sister. 713-780-3776 is the number. Apparently, and who knew this was going to happen, Jeff Luhnow is getting some pushback on his interview. The Athletic did a story. Sources with direct knowledge of MLB's investigation of the Houston Astros tell The Athletic that there is evidence that former Astros general manager Jeff Luhnow was aware that the team was engaged in sign stealing in 2017 and 18. But guess what? What is that? What is it? Okay. So if the evidence is what Major League Baseball came up with, and they're saying, well, oh, so he looked at the emails, but he didn't really look at them. He didn't read them. Okay. Well, maybe he didn't. If it's a 1,500-word email, and dude was on, and he can, in his email, you can see how long he was on it. If he was on for like 15 seconds, look through it. How many emails have you guys looked at that are long, and you go, nah, I ain't doing that. So I could certainly believe it, and if he has proof, but Evan Trelich says, oh, well, in the interview with Integrity, but to this point, he has not proven that. Evan Trelich says Luhnow has not proven that position. Well, Jeff Luhnow says he's got 150 pages that proves it.
They come with it.
Well, he did come up with it. He brought it to the commissioner's office, and the commissioner didn't want anything to do with it.
Well, that's what he said.
Yeah, right. The report noted that Luhnow was fired with just cause and that the case could produce litigation. Luhnow was not asked about, nor did he address his Astros contract in the KPRC interview. Jim Crane told USA Today that Luhnow never agreed on a buyout of his contract with the club. So, you know, I don't know. In Major League Baseball, if you do have more information or you do have direct proof, sources with direct knowledge of MLB's investigation of the Astros tell The Athletic that there is evidence that former they think that by what they put in the report. So is there more than what they put in the report or not? Or is that it?
He even said he didn't have all the report. Like Jeff said, he was a certain amount of report. Like, do you really think, once again, now we're just working off of what Jeff Luhnow told a reporter who I've never seen before and who didn't ask a ton of hard-hitting follow-up questions. I mean, we're working all off of what Jeff Luhnow's side of the story is. That's it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, why? Okay. Well, Dreilich's basically saying, okay, well, talking to other people, they say this is not the full story.
Well, no, they didn't say that. He said that there is evidence that former Astros general manager Jeff Luhnow was aware that the team was engaged in sign stealing.
And that's exactly different than what Jeff says.
Well, right, but Major League Baseball went with what was in the report, and they say that is evidence. Is there now? They're not saying that there's more. They're just saying that there is evidence. And if that is the evidence, Jeff Luhnow says I can refute that evidence.
But is Jeff giving you all the information, or was there more evidence in there? we don't have all that. We don't have it. It's not open. It's what we're working off of what Jeff Leno said.
No, but here's the deal is I don't know. I kind of believed Jeff Leno. I kind of did. I kind of believed that Jeff Leno, and
no, I kind of did too, but I do always know that there are two sides of every story.
There are two sides, and Major League Baseball says, no, this is enough evidence. Well,
you think
Major
League Baseball wants to get in a pissing match with Jeff Leno right now? Even if they win, they're going
to
lose.
Well, all they have to do, but this athletic story, all is it saying, oh, no, sources say that there is direct knowledge. Well, okay, well, what? What is the direct knowledge? Not source. Don't tell me sources say that there is direct knowledge.
Well, hold on.
Because sources say that in the report, the report could be the source.
Hold on. Did you believe Jeff Leno knew this entire time? Before you watched him on Channel 2, did you think Jeff Leno?
Yeah, but I never heard Jeff Leno. Okay, so there are two sides to every story. So now I heard the other side. And actually, I believe the other side more than I believe the first side. Because before, that's all I had heard is if you were going to say there's two sides to every story, all I heard before was Major League Baseball side. Now that I've heard both sides, now there's two sides to every story. Now, actually, I believe the other side.
Yeah, I think it's probably somewhere in between. My guess is Jeff Leno is not telling everybody everything. I have a hard time believing that Jeff Leno didn't know anything. I think it's one of those things where he didn't want to know, where he's like, just don't tell me. I don't want to know.
Well, it could well be.
That guy's kind of a...
Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny that not one player indicted him? That the only smoking gun is like two or three emails that have a mention in it out of 22,000 emails, and that not one player indicted him.
Well, once again, I don't have that information.
Right.
I don't know. Obviously, maybe some players did indict him.
Well, no, because that is not in the report. No.
Well, Jeff says
the damning evidence against Jeff Leno in the report are these references.
That's true. That's what we've heard about. Yeah, and we had heard that previously too. So that's
right.
That's probably the case. But I don't know if players would know about it if a GM knows anyway. I don't know that he's in their day to day. You know, I think it's probably. But then again, you know, you could say the same thing about Jim Crane. I'm sure there's some people who think Jim Crane had to know. I don't think there's any way Jim Crane knew. Maybe there is a way that Jeff Leno didn't know because this wasn't a team level. And some GMs are very close on a team level and some are not. And players, I don't know. I don't care. I honestly don't care. Jeff Leno, I'd love to see him get another job as a GM. It doesn't hurt my feelings at all if Jeff is a GM somewhere. What pissed me off is that A.J. Hinch, no one's talking about A.J. Hinch anywhere. Now the talk is that the Red Sox could be bringing Alex Cora back.
Yeah, no, that looks like it's going to happen. And we knew that was going to happen.
And Alex Cora, I guarantee you
As soon as he was exonerated in the Boston report, Alex Cora was coming back. They love Alex Cora.
And do you think Alex Cora did the same thing in Boston in 18?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. Don't tell me he won it all and it was happening on his team and he had he won it all. He was the mastermind, one of the masterminds behind one of the biggest schemers in the whole thing. He goes to Boston and forgets all about it. It's happening there, but he had nothing to do with it.
I hope he gets the job because I'm looking forward to the mental gymnastics people who have just decided to make the Astros the worst people to ever play baseball. When Alex Cora was part of the organization, then when he gets the Boston job, people are like, okay.
Yeah.
Great to have Alex Cora back. I'm interested to watch those people dance around that. And the other thing about the Jeff Luno thing is, remember when we heard that this was a thing before we got the entire interview? We thought Jeff Luno was going to bust this whole thing wide open and talk about how the other teams are involved. And he was just going to start listing teams that he knew to be involved in this. And it turns out all it was it wasn't me. So even if that's true, it's just a disappointing end to that interview because I thought we were going to hear about others. And there's an article out today, or maybe it came out yesterday, about the Cleveland Indians possibly doing something and Jeff Luno being alerted to it or seeing something weird when they're at Progressive Field, which is the Indians' home ballpark, and him asking people from the Indians organization, why are you guys filming us? What are you guys doing? So I would have liked to have heard that in his own words from that Channel 2 interview, yeah, but we didn't hear any of that.
Bauer didn't keep that same energy when Cleveland was supposedly doing. And then isn't the rumor that Cleveland was trying to catch Houston doing something? So they were, I don't know. I mean, you know what? All I care is I'd like to see A.J. Hinch get another shot. Leno, I think he's really, really talented. If he does or doesn't, whatever. And with Alex Cora, yeah, I'm with you, Dale, and it's going to be very frustrating. To me, Red Sox fans can't say anything ever. Like, Red Sox fans are dead in the water if Alex Cora comes back. You're not allowed to comment on the Astros ever, 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 because you have this guy. And as far as I'm concerned, where's Marwin now?
In Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota. Yeah, that's right. Marwin can't – if you're a Minnesota Twins fan, you can't say anything.
Well, you never heard them say anything. But Red Sox fan is an a-hole. But Red Sox fan is an a-hole anyway.
But you can't say – Red Sox fan can't say anything.
No.
This is one of the ringleaders.
Yeah.
And I don't think you'll ever see Beltran back in baseball, but if you do, wherever he goes, y'all got to shut your mouth too.
Whoa. But you got to shut your mouth anyway, because he went right to the Yankees afterwards, and he was there before too.
No, but well, remember how Alex Cora cleaned it up in Boston?
Oh, yeah, he cleaned it up, except that they were caught. Except they were caught cheating, but he didn't know anything about it. Okay.
No, it was just that one kid out in the scoreboard.
Right. No. It was,
and then
yeah.
Carlos Beltran cleaned it up with the Yankees when he went back, like, hey, guys, this isn't right. We got to clean this stuff up.
Yeah. I just won a World Series in Houston doing this, but we wouldn't do that here.
Ah, yeah.
Okay. And then Alex Cora is going, you know, they got the secret weapon. They got Beltran.
openly joking back and forth about it. They're openly clowning.
9-16.
You got people like Big Poppy is laughing on TV. Right. I mean, oh my gosh.
9-16 ESPN 97.5. Get your grill on, Lance, with Deshaun's girlfriend.
No. Okay. Let's all right, do that again. Del, can you tell me something? Can I exit from that?
1, 2, 3. Hey, Lance.
Yeah.
I know. The weather's still great outside. So if you want to barbecue on the weekend, what would you use?
Oh, that's a great idea. You know, Del, I'm glad you asked that, because we've got a cool front coming in just this weekend, and it's going to be in the 70s. That's what the high is going to be in. So to me, that's a perfect time to grill, and I'm going to be outside with my grill from Texas Star Grill Shop. You can do the same thing too, guys. You can look for a brand new grill, give it to yourself as a birthday present. Here's a heat check. If your wife's just really feeling you right now, and you think your wife is just loving you so much because you're a great husband, give yourself a Traeger or a Pits and Spits wood pellet grill for your anniversary and see how that works out. I think that's a great idea. Give yourself an anniversary gift. Treat yourself to a new grill from Texas Star Grill Shop. The fall sale means that their rates are even lower. Their prices are even lower. They're always going to be lower than any big box store, but they also throw in delivery and assembly absolutely free for the rest of this month. And here's another great thing. When you're looking for your wood pellets, charcoal, if you're looking for marinades, rubs, championship rubs, grilling accessories, pizza ovens, everything is right there in one shop. And they're beautiful shops too. And they are experts at every single thing in the store. I promise you, this is your one-stop shop. Three locations in the Houston area. Go to TexasStarGrillShop.com to find a location nearest you.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
Working on a weekend like usual. Way off in the deep end like usual. Swear they passed us, they doing too much. Haven't done my taxes, I'm too turned up. Virgil got a paddock on my wrist going nuts.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Cody Stutz is writing for SI, Texans Daily, and he writes an article that Lonnie Johnson is a safety now. This is not, Lonnie Johnson's been playing safety, right? I mean, he's been.
Well, yeah, he got moved there this year, yeah.
Yeah, and Romeo talked about it. Obviously, Romeo talked about it the other day, so that's probably what.
Because they don't think he can play corner.
Well, right. No. Here's the deal, though. Lonnie Johnson is on the field, and Eric Murray is on the field, and Justin Reed is on the field, and Bradley Roby is on the field, and I guess Vernon Hargraves is on the field?
Yeah, he's on the field. And sometimes Philip Gaines gets on the field.
Okay, and Philip Gaines is a corner. So you're basically, anytime you're in nickel, I guess, is it Hargraves or Gaines, or is it?
Yeah, I think it depends on the matchup.
Yeah.
I think it depends on how the tight end's being used, if the tight end is a pass-catching tight end. Yeah. You'll see three corners sometimes. Sometimes you'll see three safeties. I've not really been a huge fan of the three safety look. I haven't noticed Justin Reed playing all that well. Murray has stunk. He's been a huge bust. And Lonnie Johnson, I think Lonnie Johnson's still learning. We have to see how Lonnie Johnson does in terms of he's in a new position. And I'm not ready to just throw in the towel on Lonnie Johnson yet, but he needs to start playing better at safety. He needs to develop a role as a great tight end cover guy. At some point, he's got to do something where you go, oh, this is his role. This is what Lonnie Johnson does. Because if not, you're going to look at, right now, you go back to that 2018 draft or 2019 draft, I should say, Max Sharping isn't even starting. He barely gets any time anymore. So Max Sharping's lost his confidence. He was a second-round pick. Lonnie Johnson was moved to safety, and it's not like he's been great. He was a second-round pick. You've got Titus Howard that he started to come around a little bit this year, so that's good. But you really, this is a little bit of a concern. And on the heels of that, you have Charlie Heck, who's a swing tackle. Swing tackles don't usually get drafted until the fourth. You drafted Charlie Heck in the third. He can't even get on a roster. Like, he's always inactive. So Charlie Heck's not even, that's your third round pick from last year. Blacklock finally got on the field and made a couple of plays, which was nice. But I'm getting a little concerned that two straight drafts, when you're already giving away draft picks, and then if you have three straight drafts where you don't have as many hits as you thought you were going to have hits, that's really going to make the next GM's job that much tougher.
Yeah. Okay. We're already looking at this offseason. You've got a third. You don't have a first or a second. Let's just assume that you're not going to trade anybody away because Deshaun says you're not going to trade anybody away. I think you'll have some money available. Maybe you could make some cuts. Maybe somebody smart, maybe a smart GM will come in here and say, you know what, we'll take a couple million in dead cap and get rid of this guy. We'll take a couple million in dead cap and get rid of this guy and this guy. And maybe you'll free up a little bit of money. Priority one this offseason is?
Oh, my God. It's so much. I can't even. That's one of the hardest questions you've ever asked me.
I'm going to say corner.
Well, I think it's. I was looking at a bigger. I think priority one. See, to me, it all starts with priority one this offseason is finding the right general manager.
Well, no. Okay.
Okay.
No,
so you mean purely
I'm
football.
Assuming you got. Well, you're going to have a general manager. So I'm just assuming you're going to get a general
purely
manager.
Purely roster based.
Yes. You're going to get a general manager. You're going to get a head coach. Now, I'm talking about roster.
All right, I would say corner. Yeah, I would say corner, but I don't know that that's the right answer. Because
how about
I think
pass rush?
I think pass rush and a big target at wide receiver are hand in hand with that, because Deshaun has to have a big target. He needs a big pass catching ball winner, and I think pass rush is an absolute. Your secondary doesn't have to be as good when you got a great rush, and if you got a really good pass rusher, it makes your cornerback play better. So that's why I was. That's why I think pass rush could also be the right answer on this one.
Yeah, you just got to have somebody that can cover somebody, though, dude. I mean, and they're expensive, but you got to – I mean, you can't have Bradley Roby and then the three safeties and a throwaway corner in a scrap heap corner. You just can't. Nothing against Philip Gaines, nothing against Vernon Hargraves. They're pro athletes. They're unbelievable. They're by NFL standards, they were guys that were cut by other teams that you just picked up because you needed a body. I mean, when you got a corner on their third wide receiver, I mean, when you got a safety on their third wide receiver, you lose. So you got to stop acquiring Michael Thomas, Eric Murray. This is all you acquired this offseason. Instead of good corners, let's grab as many safeties as we possibly can. Let's turn Lonnie Johnson, our second round corner, into a safety. Let's just accumulate as many safeties as we possibly can. I mean, who the hell built this roster?
So at this point, I think I should
slide
in. It's
not my job to do that.
Yes, it was your job to do that.
So Texans Bill yesterday on Twitter, he had a video where he's got "I voted" like sticker stuck to his mustache or whatever, or his beard or whatever it is. And he goes, "I just voted. Y'all wanted me to vote. I just voted. But I don't know if you're going to like who I voted for," or something like that. He did this video. And the one reply under it was, "You voted for Bill O'Brien, didn't you?" And that's all I could think. I just thought that was the funniest thing. Bill O'Brien has that. You just ask a question, who's done all this? Bill O'Brien's done all of this. And people are it just took all the way until a few games for people to see how bad these moves were for Bill O'Brien.
Well, look at the
record. And frankly, NFL people already knew how bad these were before a game was played. They knew how bad this was. And Bill O'Brien did this to you. And you know what? He'll go down as the winningest coach in Texans history for quite
ever?
Some time.
Wait, well,
you think somebody's going to be more
100 years from now? Bill O'Brien is still going to be the winningest coach in Texans history?
Tell me how long it will take before there's a coach who has more division championships. How long is it going to take? Do you think by 2030?
I don't care about division championships. Good Lord.
Wow, that means you're a loser. So that's what Bill O'Brien was trying to talk about. So let me ask you this. Will there be a coach with division championship titles there with the most division championships or a Super Bowl by 2030 for the Texans?
With four?
Either
four division titles?
Your choice, a Super Bowl appearance or four division titles by 2030.
Super Bowl title. Super Bowl. Hey.
No. Will there be somebody by 2030 for the Texans that has won either a Super Bowl or four division championships during that time?
Won a Super Bowl?
Either won a Super Bowl, or no, I'll just say got to a Super Bowl. Will the Texans get to a Super Bowl, or will they have another coach win four division titles by 2030? That's your question.
Dell?
You know the answer is no.
I can't believe we're even entertaining this.
And yet you know the answer. Bill O'Brien is going to have more wins than any other coach.
Look how quick they turn it around in L.A., the Rams. You can turn it around in a hurry.
Why would I trust this ownership group to do that?
Because knowledge is power. Mm. That's why.
I just want you to know, the Texans are a version of the Bengals.
They've gone to two Super Bowls.
Oh, no. At first they tried to sell us on the Lions, which was unfair, but they are more. The Bengals stuff is like Marvin Lewis Bengals is actually pretty accurate with Bill O'Brien, only less a-hole cussing.
Kenny Anderson brought him to a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Boomer Esiason brought him to a Super Bowl.
That's what my else favorite Marvin. That favorite, my favorite
that was,
Marvin
that was
Lewis
your favorite
moment.
Marvin Lewis team.
Boomer. Yeah, Boomer seems with Marvin.
I didn't say that.
In the last,
you're back in the,
they've
you're
gone
back
to Super Bowl
in the last 30 years. The Bengals. These are who the Texans are. They're just a Bengal South.
We used to make fun of the Bengals.
You should stop.
Yeah, Marvin used to. But Marvin is the. He is Bill O'Brien.
If you look at Marvin's record, yeah, absolutely. It's the same thing.
And do you think? And are we just talking about now? The Bengals have a longer way to go because they just started with Joe Burrow, and who knows what Zach Taylor will be? I don't have high hopes. Are we talking about the Bengals winning a Super Bowl in the next whatever your timeline is?
Okay, who's on a better trajectory?
That's not fair because I don't think the Bengals aren't on a trajectory either right now.
I don't know. Both teams have quarterbacks.
Yeah, so. Both teams have quarterbacks, but I don't think either team is on a trajectory to a Super Bowl.
No, who do you trust more right now, though?
Deshaun. If you're asking quarterback?
No, I'm not asking about quarterbacks.
Organization?
What organization?
Oh, my God. Do I have to say Bengals? I'm not going to say Bengals.
Honestly, it's more stable than this one is.
No, the Texans.
They don't have a general manager or a coach, and they've got Cal as the owner.
LSU. That's good up.
But wait a minute. But all he was trying to go knowledge is power.
Yeah.
But wait a minute now. The Bengals don't even have, like, a GM.
Neither do the Texans.
They don't even have scouts. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. They actually are the same. I can't believe Dell hit it.
Yeah, you're the
Bengals.
Oh,
my gosh.
Stop fighting
it. The Texans, Bill O'Brien is rude Marvin Lewis, and the Texans are the Bengals.
So which Sean McVay protege are the Texans going to hire here?
I think they're all out of Sean McVay proteges.
Kyle Shanahan proteges. Who's next on the list?
Robert Saleh.
If they hired Josh McDaniels, ooh. I swear to God.
No.
Easterby loves him.
Easterby loves him. He was going to Indy with him.
I know. But
931 ESPN 97.5.
I'm calling Marvin Lewis. Marvin Lewis. He's rude. I'm calling Bill O'Brien rude Marvin Lewis.
Rude
from now
Marvin
on.
Lewis.
Yeah.
I'm going to need some heart work, Lance, after segments like that.
Well, actually, CoreMed solution for anybody that gets coronavirus, there is a chance you can get myocarditis with your heart. Even if you have mild to moderate to even asymptomatic people, myocarditis is something that can attack your heart. And that's why CoreMed has seen such a spike, because this is a company that works outside of hospitals where you have to, okay, I got to get a doctor to give me a prescription, and then I go get this echocardiogram. I find out what's going on with my heart or find out if my heart is healthy. How about this? CoreMed has taken that concept and they have streamlined it. And they said, you can go right to your heart doctor, Dr. Burkholder with CoreMed Solutions, and you'll have a cardiologist who can not only give you a look at stress test, EKG, echocardiogram. They'll find out what's going on with your heart, if your heart is healthy or if it's not healthy. If it does have any issues, they can get you treated and get you back to health. If you have a major issue or condition that might even be hereditary that you never knew of, it's important that you find it out first so that you don't find out when it's too late and you are having to have very, very serious surgeries. That's what I'm talking about here. Finding out your heart health is something you really need to do, and not enough Americans do it. That's why it's the number one killer in the United States. CoreMed Solutions, they will get you the answers about your heart health, and it makes great sense to have them come out and come check out your entire workforce, just like UPS did with CoreMed Solutions. They can take it on the road with their mobile units and get people in every 15 minutes. They can check up an entire business and check out the heart, and they can work with insurance, or it costs just $200, even if you don't have insurance. CoreMedSolutions.com. That's CoreMedSolutions.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776, if you'd like to get in here with us. You guys excited about Big Ten football tonight?
Oh, is that tonight? Do they play?
Yeah.
Who plays
Illinois
tonight?
At Wisconsin tonight.
Oh, I'm less excited about that.
Yeah.
Actually, I am. When I was going through the lines this week, I was going through all the games. When I got to Big Ten, I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's right. Big Ten is back in action.
Yep. In 2 weeks. We still got 2 weeks until the Pac-12. Pac-12 gets in.
Yeah. And I think the Mountain West is back next week.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, so the Pac-12 will be the last, and we'll have the toughest time in getting into a playoff if they have a team in the least amount of respect. So that's great for them, I guess. I'm excited. I mean, Wisconsin has a young quarterback. Who knows if he's another Jim Sorge or Alex Hornibrook? Is he another one of those guys? He was a top 100 quarterback, and he's playing because the previous quarterback, the one who was more like Jim Sorge and Hornibrook and the others, got hurt. So you'll see Grant, I think his name is Mertz. I think that's his last name. He's probably the highest rated quarterback Wisconsin's ever had. So we'll see if he adds a different element to their offense. No Jonathan Taylor. They don't have a back anywhere close, although they always have good backs, so there may be a fall off there. And Illinois beat them last year. Lovie Smith's team made a bowl game last year, so they're feeling pretty good about themselves. I'm excited. More football to look at, and we'll see how good Wisconsin actually is.
You got the Big Ten Network, though?
I do, because I am on YouTube TV, so I have the Big Ten Network as part of my package, so I'll be able to watch tonight.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So, that's on Big Ten Network tonight. Other games, Tulsa at South Florida. That'll be an interesting game. South Florida's not very good, but Tulsa is surprisingly good. And Louisiana at UAB. That actually is shaping up to be a pretty good game.
Yeah, Louisiana lost their first game of the year to Coastal Carolina, who's a good ball club.
Yeah.
And also, UAB's never lost a home game since they came back. Since they came back from being a non-program, has not lost a home game. So we'll see if Louisiana can end that streak. UAB, a really good home team and pretty good team overall. I think their only loss is when they went down to Miami and lost. So not a bad look for Friday. You know, more football is always good.
Best game this weekend is Iowa State at Oklahoma State.
Yeah, and Spencer Sanders actually going to play?
I guess so. I guess that's the word. And even, you know what, I don't mind the freshman. Anyway, he's played pretty damn well, but it seems like they haven't played him forever.
Yeah, they've, COVID, was it the Baylor game that got knocked out?
Yeah.
Because Baylor had some issues. So they've been off for a while, and they just sat there and saw their, not that the ranking means so much, because we know the College Football Playoff Committee will determine stuff, just kept going up with Baylor, had Miami lose, that was ahead of them at one point, and then you had North Carolina lose, so all of a sudden, Oklahoma State is what, the number 7 team in the country or something like that?
Oklahoma State 6.
6. There you are. So,
yeah. I mean, and Iowa State is a good. We know what Iowa State can do with Purdy. So that's actually a good football game. I think the next best game is, forget Michigan and Minnesota. That's going to be an ABC game. Michigan is always so overrated.
I'm excited only because they have a new quarterback. The Shea Patterson stuff is gone, thankfully. Michigan finally. Jim Harbaugh finally will start a quarterback he actually recruited. Since he's been there, it's been a bunch of transfers.
It's not McCaffrey's kid, huh?
No, he transferred out when Milton was clear he was going to win the job. So,
yeah.
So it'll be Milton, who's a big dude, wasn't very accurate in high school. I don't think he didn't ever have a year where he was over 50% completion percentage in high school. So that's not great.
No.
He's a big athletic dude and second year of the offense. Michigan's probably going to be faster at the wide receiver position. They're known for their big guys like Donovan Peoples-Jones and Tariq Black, who transferred to Texas. They got a bunch of little, fast, small guys now, young guys, so we'll see how that works out.
Well, are they going to be any faster on defense? That's the question.
Well, doubtful. Not Ohio State fast, which is always their biggest issue. Minnesota's a good offense, but they won't out-talent Michigan like Ohio State has in the past, but that game's at Minnesota. Won't be fans, but it'll be, I'm assuming, 30 degrees or something. So it probably won't be all that fun to play in, but hey, that's what you do when you play in the Big Ten.
That's right. And especially when you start your season in October.
And you're playing a night game in Minnesota.
The best game, the second best game is probably Cincinnati at SMU. Honestly, that's the next. The second best game of the weekend.
Cincinnati at LSU would be the
SMU.
Second. Oh. No, come on.
It's number 9 versus 16 if
it's
you care about
versus
rankings.
16, yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah. They're both undefeated, right?
Gross.
Cincinnati, yeah, they're both really good. They're both really good football teams.
Cincinnati has a really good defense. They've dubbed themselves no-fly zone because of their DBs, and they have really good DBs. And they're going to face their biggest test throwing the football. Although SMU lost, who did they lose? Roberson a couple weeks ago? He's out for the year, I think, or at least out for a significant amount of time, but they can still put up yards.
The,
so
the wide receiver?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's out for, I think, the rest of the year. So that hurts, but it's the best. Yeah, he's right. As far as entertainment value, now Desmond Ritter's been inconsistent at Cincinnati, the quarterback, so I'm not sure if they're going to be able to keep up with SMU. So it'll be about their defense keeping them in the game. But it's a good matchup if you if it's just purely about football as opposed to, you know, name brands.
Yeah, no. Bouchelle is playing well. I mean, Sonny has done an unbelievable job there. What he did was he brought in a bunch of transfers right away. And you know what? They're pretty damn good. That's a pretty good football team. And Cincinnati is a top 10 team right now. I don't know. We'll see if they deserve it. We'll see if – but you know this. SMU is going to throw the ball all over them.
Yeah, that's what they do. So.
That's what they do.
So Cincinnati is, as I mentioned, as good as their defense is. I mean, sure, you may if you hold SMU in the 30s, that'll be great. But can Cincinnati score 30-plus points the way their quarterback has played? That'll be the question. They're going to try to run the ball, shorten the game a little bit. But you got to score points against good teams in college football now. You can't hold them down. We saw what happened with Georgia. Georgia, a lot of people think Georgia has the best defense in football. Talent-wise, scheme, production. And Alabama's like, so? And yeah. We'll put up 40 on you and make it look easy.
I saw a story that said LSU maybe had the most prolific offense in NCAA history, and Alabama may be better right now.
And could be.
Could be.
Watch what they've done so far, and I don't see it stopping.
It actually is kind of similar if you think about it. I mean, although I would say Joe Burrow is a better quarterback than Mac Jones, but when you look at the speed, I mean, you had Justin Jefferson. You had a tight end who, you know, Randy Moss's kid caught some passes, but it was Chase and Jefferson were the two main dudes. Smith, Waddle, Michi, that is, I would say that there are more explosive. Yeah, there's probably more explosive players at the wide receiver spot, although LSU had plenty of them too. It's, I don't know. It's pretty close. It's pretty close. I think Edwards-Helaire is a better runner than Najee Harris, more diverse as a talent too, but Najee is, you know, he fits what Alabama likes to do.
Yep.
By the way, Dell, well, just real quick, Dell, you want to promote, are you still doing your are you doing your college football podcast on a weekly basis?
I've had some stuff I had to deal with at home, so but I've decided I'll put something out probably Monday or Tuesday. With the Big Ten coming back, I'll be doing it. Everybody's back, so in terms of football. So, yeah, I'm still putting it out.
Who's your is Holly your co-host?
No,
or
Holly,
who's your co-host?
I don't have a co-host. No, Holly's not my co-host.
Oh, it would be good. You and Holly doing one.
What?
Yeah.
Does Holly watch college football? I don't know that.
Yeah, she does.
Probably like Temple.
Yeah.
I know. I've never seen Holly tweet about college football. I've seen her tweet quite a bit about the NFL.
Villanova?
And then she sends pictures to some of the guys.
I don't know that she sends pictures to college players. In fact, I'm going to say, I'm not going to say I'm sure she doesn't, but I don't know that to be the case.
We don't know.
I know,
don't know.
But I don't know that, so that's why I wouldn't say it. Why would you say it if you don't know?
Well, I said probably.
Yeah, but don't say it if you don't know.
Well, no, you could now say she's probably. Got, that doesn't mean anything. Probably.
And it's hard to prove a negative. Now she has to come out and say, no, I don't send pictures to college players. And but John said you might have.
Well, it said probably.
So I can say,
no one. That's not an affirmative. I didn't have two sources.
Well, you know
when
what
I said. I know. Okay, two sources have told me that Holly sends pictures to college kids.
I will say, John,
not comfortable at all with this.
Neither
now.
Am I. I think John might send scandalous pictures to college coaches to get their attention. I don't.
You don't know.
I don't know that to be the case, but I don't know it's not the case.
You don't know
exactly. So
right.
That's why I said it. I don't know.
No, so that's fine.
I don't know.
Say it. It's not like you said definitively, I have two sources that told me.
I do not know.
Right.
I just think it's possible.
All right.
Maybe even probable.
946 ESPN 975-713-780-3776.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Have not heard from Holly, so I guess that's confirmation.
No, it isn't.
It kind of is.
She may not be listening.
Well, why wouldn't she be listening? That's dumb.
She has a job.
No, that's stupid. Listening all the time.
Speaking of women in college football, did you see the story or the pictures that leaked of Eddie O in bed with the younger blonde?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw it. I didn't know that it was leaked. I thought it was I guess it would have been. Yeah. I saw her. Didn't I show her to you?
Did I show you guys?
That's Eddie O's new girl?
I showed
you guys last week.
I don't think I walked in there.
I didn't see it.
Because of the COVID, so
yeah,
I didn't walk in there.
I thought I showed you. That's what Eddie O is going out with his wife. They got divorced, and that's Eddie. And no wonder LSU is struggling. She's pretty hot. And then there's a picture of the two of them in bed together. He's got no shirt on. Was a little more aggressive than I thought Coach O would put out there. But, hey,
fault. You thought that Coach O did something aggressive?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right.
This just in.
Seems like right on brand for him. With me. I don't think that's too aggressive at all for him. Seems like something he would do. Although, well, I don't think the picture came from him.
No, I don't think the picture came from him either. Although, he might have sent that to somebody and somebody. I don't know. You never know. Coach O, are you sure he's all that knowledgeable? I know knowledge is power, but is he all that knowledgeable with technology?
It looks like a picture his girl took, and somehow, some way, it made its way to the internet.
Yeah.
Because, look, I mean, if you're in that situation, are you looking to take a picture with a big dopey smile on your face for people to see? No, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in other things. And it's not posing for a picture.
Yeah.
That feels like in this case, that the woman took the picture, sent it, and it got spread on the internet somehow.
Yeah. I mean,
Coach O was busy. He was doing stuff.
Well, I can't blame him. Go do stuff, Coach.
You're not winning games. You might as well do stuff.
Yeah, go ahead. Enjoy yourself. I mean, somehow it made its way on Twitter. Okay. Actually, it doesn't look like they're in bed. It looks like they're sitting on the couch. He may have a bathing suit on. You don't know.
I don't know.
She has some kind of a shirt on. You can see that.
He's shirtless. That's all we can really
tell.
He's
shirtless, though. Yeah.
It hasn't been a great week for LSU. They got their sanctions, and some people think the NCAA isn't done with them, thinking it's not enough what they self-imposed. And then this came out. It's not a huge deal, but it's been an off year for LSU football since the national title game.
Yeah. Hey, listen. And you knew it was going to. I mean, listen, they lost everybody. Who cares? They won. And you know what? They'll reload. They'll buy a bunch of players, and they'll win again in 5 or 6 years.
Well, yeah. they're starting a true freshman this weekend because Miles Brennan is hurt. So South Carolina has a real shot of winning that game. So they could be 1-3.
Well, Coach O said he thought that maybe Joe Burrow would come back. Yeah.
He'd have a better offensive line.
Than he has now?
Yeah, than he has in Cincinnati.
He is getting lit up, boy. Ooh, wow. Let's go through some pro games this week. What about the Titans and the Steelers?
Lance? I like that game's in Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, it's a 1-point game.
I like Pittsburgh.
You like Pittsburgh in that one?
Yeah, man, I told you. I think Houston just took it out of the Houston game. Just took too much out of the Titans.
I don't know, man.
I said it kind of as a joke, but it really was. I mean, it really was. I mean, no, they had really to go to overtime. Yeah.
That was a hell of a game. That was an overtime game, and they actually if they'd have kicked the extra point, maybe who knows what would have happened, but. I don't know. I decided I doubt the Titans anymore. I mean, they just continue to win. That's all they do. They win and win and win. The Bills are minus 12.5 against the Jets. I just don't think that, they can't be any worse, can they? They just can't be any worse.
So no, I would agree with that.
And the Bills have lost two in a row. You don't think they're going to come out and just be – I mean, they're going to want to just kick their ass. And there can't be a bigger mess in New York. You don't make a living betting on big favorites, but 12.5 just isn't even close to enough. That team is so piss poor. What about the Rams giving 6 to the Bears?
At Rams, Bears offense. You know, I have a funny feeling of Bears. I think that's going to be right at that number.
I mean, the Bears continue.
I think that's a pretty good number. The Bears keep winning, but I'm not sure how.
I'm not sure how either, but they just do for whatever reason.
Okay, so you have to look at the opponent. And
by the way, Tennessee is at home against Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay. I'm back on. No, you know what? I'm still going to stay Steelers.
Are you really?
Wow, they're only a 1-point favorite against the Steelers. Interesting.
Yeah.
Steelers are undefeated too, dude. Half. Oh, yeah, I guess they are.
Yeah. And they just beat the snot out of the Browns team that was supposed to be pretty good.
Stephen A. Smith's already coming out with, it's time for Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry to demand that the Browns bench Baker or trade him.
it's about time. How about Baker saying this 4-2 feels like 0-6?
Yeah, I think that locker room's in good shape. And to think that I watched us, Ryan Clark has turned himself into Stephen A. Smith, he just does the most ridiculous stuff on TV. They were having a thing about why people treat differently when Tom Brady yells at people as opposed to Odell Beckham. And Rob Ninkovich is like, well, because of the Super Bowls, and he's yelling at his offensive line to protect better, and he's trying to pump up defenses and all that stuff. And Ryan Clark is sitting there with his head in his hands and rolling his eyes. And there's no way Ryan Clark could actually believe that Odell Beckham Jr. is just treated differently because he's not Tom Brady. Like, this is a race issue. I get that, like, Odell Beckham has been a chemistry issue in two different locker rooms now. And yeah. You look at, they're 4-2, but they're 4-2, and people are talking about benching Baker Mayfield and this, that, and the other. That's not a good 4-2. As far as the Rams are concerned, if the Bears get to play a team that they can kind of muddy up a little bit and make it an ugly game, I think they could make the Rams, they could turn the Rams into that kind of game.
Well, what do you think the under-over is on that?
It's got to be like 44.5.
45. I would think, well, yeah, but here's the deal. Every Bears game is 30s in the 30s. Every Bears game.
No, you're going, it's basically, this is immovable object and irresistible force colliding. Yeah.
Right.
And from a handicapping standpoint, usually the offense is, if there is a good defense, a bad offense will typically play bad, and a good defense will slow down a good offense. So I would look at that being a lower scoring game.
And points are in a Bears game, points are at a premium. 6 points is a lot of points. 6 points is a lot of points in a Bears game.
It is.
I'm going to go, let's see. I'm going to take a look at all of their scores. I'll bet you that every game that they've played has been a low, a tight game. They just don't. 6 points is a bunch. 27-23, 17-13, 30-26, 19-11. That's one. The Colts beat them by eight. 20-19, 23-16. But they won. The Bears won by seven. So all of their games, except two games, one by eight, one by seven, the rest are all 1 point, 4 point, 2 point, 4 point, 4 point. 6 points is a lot of points in a Bears game. Now, they did play a Falcons team, and it was a 30-26 game. Now, the Falcons can got some offense, but the Bears actually had some. The Falcons defense sucks. But against the Buccaneers, 20-19, Panthers, 23-16. All these games are 17-13, 27-23. This is a better offense, though. So I'm going to go. I think it's going to be over, but I don't know about the Bears, you know, given 6 points against the Bears. I don't know. Seahawks, 3.5 over the Cardinals.
Seahawks, that's obviously in Arizona. Yes, I still like Seattle there. I don't know if you've noticed this or not. Kyler Murray's not playing good football.
No, he's not playing good at all.
You know who else isn't? Everyone was ready to anoint Bill Belichick and Cam Newton as the greatest combination in the history of football after he had that good game against Seattle. Cam is not playing good football now. He hasn't for the last 2 weeks. Kyler Murray hasn't for like the last three. Josh Allen for the last two. Like some of these quarterbacks that were off to a good start have kind of slowed down a little bit right now.
Well,
and Deshaun's played good football the last 2 weeks.
So Denver's catching 10 at home against Kansas City. You know what? With Drew Lock back?
I'll take Denver. I'll take the points.
I'll take the points, too. I'll take the points, too, in this one. New England is giving 2 to San Francisco. I don't know about that, the way they're playing. I know San Francisco 2 weeks ago looked bad, but then they bounced back last week and looked pretty damn good.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with you on that.
Yeah. And the Texans are plus 4, Lance. Who you got?
Texans are plus 4. I'm laying 4.
I'm laying 4, too. I don't know. I just don't see him stopping Aaron Rodgers or Aaron Jones.
Can Dallas finally get a cover?
Nope. I got Washington.
I'm taking Dallas. There's just no way Washington gets a cover there.
Okay. All right.
I shouldn't say that. Dallas 0-6 against the number.
Yeah. The Jets and Dallas, 0-6 against the number. The Jets is harder, as many points as they've gotten. And yet, they're getting 12.5. Give me the Bills. 10:01, ESPN 97.5. Beat it, Lance.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save